And no, we will be finishing this tonight unless the Lord comes. He could come before that. Yeah, that's all right. Amen. And so I will say this. When we began this series, I had two grandchildren and none expected. Right? And so now we got four grandchildren. And so just wait till we start Hebrews. Right? Anyway, I was going to go there, but I decided not to. All right, so we are at, we're just getting ready to finish up here. Actually, tonight, I've only got like a page and a half of notes. Normally, we go through about 2.5 to 3 pages of notes. So what I thought we would do to begin out is just do a little review. So let's go back to chapter 1. No, we're not. We're going to finish up tonight. And the first thing that we want to look at is we're going to pick up. I'm trying to find the text in which we are at. We had read Revelation 22, 12 through 20a, and we're finishing that up here with the announcement, is what we've called this, the announcement. Maybe, perhaps, this is even called an invitation. We see someone here, and this is where it says, the Spirit says, come. Now, this is one of those things that I don't know if you've realized it or not, but this is the first mention of the Holy Spirit outside of the symbols of the seven spirits. And so we've had a long time not talking about him. And yet, so many, we'll just say, people, religions, that's what they want to spend all their time talking about. It's kind of like, as you've probably noticed, some of the things that we have not talked about in Revelation that the world often ties in there, like the Antichrist. It's not even mentioned in this book. But how many times do we talk about that or hear or have people talk about that? And so the word Antichrist, and besides that, James says the Antichrist was among them at that time. And really, if you're not for Christ, you're Antichrist. So, but this is an invitation. The Spirit says, come. Remember, we had made reference to that last week of the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride says, come also. This is the new Jerusalem continuing to say, come to them for water to drink. This drink is offered while they may come. And this is what we need to understand, that this is not talking about heaven, and we'll clear this up in a little bit, that new Jerusalem, the one that came down, is the church. And we'll explain why that is. But this drink is offered while they have the opportunity to come. Notice that one must come to the city to drink of the water of life. Notice that the city still exists and may be entered. So this is not heaven after what we'd call the final judgment. We may say this is the kingdom of heaven, the church portion, yes. So who would they offer water to if we're already in heaven? Right? What would there be there? So it must be entered while the city is here on earth. John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Eternal life. So let the hearers say, come. And I say, let the thirsty come. Let whosoever will take of the water of life freely. This is the difference between Christianity and many religions. It's your choice. You come to Christ if you want to. Nobody makes you stay there. You have that choice. And when you do, you have that opportunity to drink of it freely and for eternal life. There is a warning to everyone who hears the prophecy of this book. It says, if you add to it, God will add to you the plagues of this book. If you take from it, God will take away your part from the book of life, your part of the holy city, your part from the things written in the book. And so we need to understand that there was a man named John Calvin. And just because this writer's name is John does not mean that he's a Calvinist. He does not believe once saved, always saved. Remember, those who do not have their name in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, and they can have their name blotted out of the book of life. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Imagine those Calvinists or premillennialists who think that the holy city is heaven. Can you try harmonizing them? Imagine them trying to harmonize the obvious contradictions. They once had a share and were eating of the tree of life and were in the city, but lost their share. Non-Christians never did share in the tree or the city, because where's the tree at? And the city after judgment, when this is talking, is where? In heaven as well. So you can't have lost that having had it. You never would have had it. The plagues are the seals or the trumpets and the bowls. And obviously the meaning is that those plagues going on during the lifetime of the one who would add to God's word would be added to them, and other Bible books rebuke adding to God's word as well. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, but even if we or an angel from heaven, this goes with our talk of angels that we've had, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you. And so I always find that and want to point this out as well. So who's talking here? The book of Galatians, it's the Apostle Paul, and he says, should preach a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And so what Paul is reminding them there is that as far as information that we're given in the Christian dispensation, what's more powerful, what an angel tells us, or what the apostles tell us? The apostles. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles. And so as we've tried to remember and looking at Eastern culture there with the building, that Jesus is not the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. The apostles are the foundation. That's what Scripture tells us. And so as we look at this, Paul's saying that even if an angel brings something and it's not what we said, then you're to believe what the apostles said, not what the angel said. Apostles are one sent forth from God with a message. Angels may be messengers, but remember, Satan has angels too. Okay. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. That's Moses telling them. Then in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will remove you, and you will be proved a liar. Now we look at this and so many different ways, you know, but as we look at this, let's just look at this from one perspective tonight, at least the one that's on my mind, is that those that change the Lord's plan of salvation. We kind of made mention of that this morning. So we try to make it, we give all the what ifs and the things that could happen and everything. A few weeks ago, I had one of the students in the high school class come up to me after class and says, "Well, what if, you know, there was somebody in the hospital and they wanted to be baptized, but, you know, they were in the hospital and just couldn't do it?" I said, "You know what? I have not met a hospital administration yet that if you went and discussed with them somebody that wanted to be immersed that was in the hospital, they would go out of their way to help you make that happen." And of course, the kid was just flabbergasted, never heard. He goes, "Well, you know, then why would they, you know, because when a whole idea of infusion or of pouring came on, there was someone that was in their deathbed, and so they just poured the water over them." But I just told him, I said, I've heard stories, I've been involved with ones that you ask, they'll help. And they'll bring in a big tub, and you'll have the opportunity to immerse them. And so what that did is it took off the table their excuse. Because if you really desired it enough, I think the Lord would allow for that to happen. And I know in cases that it has. The problem is so many times we'll say, "Well, it's too late. They're got all these tubes hooked up to them and stuff." As long as there's breath, it's not too late. As long as there's that conscious decision for them to make, it's not too late. And so don't change. And so that's where I'm saying, don't change and try to make somebody feel better by believing in a false hope of an altar call than to actually just trying to actually play out the actual Word of God. And that's what some people don't like, is they don't like the idea that even in what we would call the waning moments of life, that to happen, obedience to the gospel. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, as we said, every word of God is tested, and it finishes out that you don't have to worry about whether you're right or whether somebody else is right. The Word of God's already been tested, and if you don't go by the Word of God, you will be the one proved as a liar. So remember, too, that John was forbidden to write some of the seven thunders that he heard, and if he had understood it correctly, those would possibly be the additional judgments. Then, as we get down to the end here, we see, "Surely I come quickly." This isn't a lady's name. This is saying that, hey, here we are. This is finally here, okay? I come quickly. Jesus is going to come suddenly, and we've looked at that last week, unexpectedly. I've oftentimes, and I've shared this with you before, that, you know, when you're out and involved in something, and the last thing on your mind is the Lord coming back, that's when it pops into my mind, you know, the Lord could come back. I wasn't even thinking, or maybe I was thinking, I don't know. But as we see this, in other words, the Lord is telling us that you need to be ready, that there's not, so if... As is the doctrine of the day, and I'm sure of time past, if everybody gets a second chance, why does the Lord say to be ready? Well, why does he tell us that it's going to happen unexpectedly, that it's going to come as a thief in the night? Why does he warn us if everybody gets a second chance? Remember, as I've shared before, that is a lie right out of the gates of hell. Why is that? Because if you can be conned into thinking that you have a chance later after the judgment to get things worked out, and that doesn't happen, Who wins? Satan does. Who loses? You do. And there's, again, as we said, the no second chance. So be careful of that. It comes just as the example, remember we saw where he executed judgment upon Babylon. When that started, remember it even made reference to the burnt the city in a day. What that is it says that judgment comes. It's not going to carry over. You're not going to have time to escape. And they round back up the ones that got away. It doesn't happen that way. The church or the holy city would be safe. Babylon, not so much. It would be secure and provided freely. Again, you just have to choose to be there. John welcomes his coming. So then that gets us to couple verses here in John 22, or John, Revelation 22, last part of B of 20, the last part there, and then 21, John's benediction. Though he welcomes the coming of Christ in judgment, who can honestly stand and say, Jesus, I want you to come? Who can honestly say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? Who can say that? Those that are ready. Those that are ready can say that. And that's where, just as we, through prayer, can boldly approach the throne of grace, so too we can be ready for the judgment. Again, I know it's not anything that I've done. We looked at that this morning. But it's my righteousness is based on what Christ has done for me. And he asked then that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all the readers. Amen. Compare this to the last verse of the Old Testament. Malachi 4:6. Says he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers so that it will not come and smite the land with a curse. And our verse that we said we'd look, the ending says, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. John says, as those who desire the Lord's return, come Lord Jesus, come. I remember Guy Province down at the Wabash Church of Christ when he was the preacher there. He would end every service with saying, Maranatha, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And always think of that. And as I said, so who's looking for that? Hopefully everyone here that's an obedient Christian, because just imagine if that happened this evening, the stuff we wouldn't have to put up with. John says, just as those who desire the Lord's return come, Lord Jesus, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So be it. So we ask, are you ready for the end? When man began in the garden, there was a tree of life. There was a river running through it, the river of life. Man was innocent. He had companionship with God. And he lost his paradise home because of sin. Don't think ourselves to be any better. If we were there, we would have done it too, I'm sure. Cherubim prevented his return to Eden. As a result, there was a curse of pain, sickness, death and sorrow, all brought on by whom? By Satan. Remember that. When you have pain, when you have sickness, when you have sorrow, when you have death, I see too many times where Christians get mad at God. You have the right to be angry, but let's take it out on the right individual. It's because of Satan that we have those things and have to deal with those things. Don't lose your eternal salvation because you place the blame on the wrong entity. Now there is no more curse. We're going to get some amens here. No more pain. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more death. Remember, God had created the heaven and the earth. Now he makes a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth had darkness called night. This new earth has no need of sun or moon. No darkness. We have the tree of life is available to all, as it was in the garden originally. Men are now invited to this restored paradise. Angels now stand at the 12 gates to let men in to the pearly gates from any direction. I always try to thank or make aware how much we appreciate our greeters and ushers. Okay? I'm not saying they're angels. I'm just saying we appreciate them in the work that they do. But so imagine as we go to heaven and as we talked about those gates of pearl, that's one big pearl, right? And the angels there at the gates to beckon us in. The old serpent is cast out and destroyed and can never enter in to lie and defile us again. As we looked, he'll be chained, thrown into the abyss, separated from God for all eternity. The invitation to join this heavenly city is open to whosoever thirsts. It says, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Freely. You have to accept that invitation now to be there later to drink of that water freely. Last paragraph. The Bible is a completed story. Paradise was lost. It is regained in Christ. As we shared this morning, he's our only hope. The book has shown the rise and the fall of the enemies of the Lord and his church. The church is triumphant. And here's those two words we've been waiting to hear that we talked about in our very first lesson. Church, if you're ever going to get excited, it's when you're told you win. Amen. We win if we're faithful until Jesus comes, that we are obedient to him. And so as we've went through this study then, I think it was August 16th, 2022, when we started. Now you can let out a big amen that we're done with that, right? No. But I hope that you've learned something. I hope that you've learned many things. I hope that we understand that we can share this book that many people call impossible. We just don't get it. And I'm not saying we have to have it all down. And I've shared with you there were times that I said, this is way I believe it, and this helps me to understand this. If you don't, but you know what? Like I said, so I watch shows going on, and it talks about world history, and it talks about some of the things that happened, and I can place now. I'm just like, and look at what God's hand was doing when the Empire of Rome was sacked and fell, with those that were used to fight against, as God kept his promises, those that fought against the church. And as I said, I seen it again the other day, and I said it just really bothers me. And this was even in a more closer to home type of thing, is when we reference the church and we say that we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. That is not the church found in the Bible. It is found in Revelation, but not in a good way, as we've already looked. The church that Jesus Christ died for and started was on the day of Pentecost, 30 AD. And so that's what it talks about, the triumph that we can have as a Christian. If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ and you want to be more and obedient to him and do your best to follow him, then just open up the Bible. Open up God's word. When it says that we need to believe in him, that we believe who he is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that we're willing to repent of our sin. What shall we do? The first thing Peter said was repent. Repent of your sin. The sin that put him on the cross. The one that knew no sin took our sin. Repent of the one that separates, the sin that separates us from him. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and live faithfully for him. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be on the winning side. Here's our opportunity. If you're on his side, then keep on keeping on. If you're not, here's your opportunity. Begin your walk with Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Will you stand as they lead us in our song?
We'll sing two verses of Heavenly Sunlight.